The time is now 27 minutes to 8. Could there soon be changes in the way that the legal system handles difficult cases of unwell or disabled adults whom the state decides cannot look after themselves and need to go into care? These deprivation of liberty cases are among those handled by the Court of Protection. The judge who heads the court said last week that it needed to hear cases more quickly and more cheaply along the lines of what he called the cultural revolution in the family courts. Sancha Berg's report contains some strong language.
The Court of Protection's often described as secretive because it usually sits in private as it decides the future of the most vulnerable adults, those who lack mental capacity to decide their own affairs. Many have called for more transparency in this court, and more judgments are now being published, like the recent case of an elderly woman with dementia, identified only as AJ. AJ was in her late 80s. She'd been living with her niece for 11 years. Her condition was worsening, but she was reluctant to have outside help. In June 2013, her niece was going on holiday. As she didn't want to leave AJ alone, she asked the local authority for help. They agreed, without consulting AJ, that she should go to a care home for good. Dr. Lucy Series is a legal researcher, a specialist in the Court of Protection.
On arrival in the care home for respite care, AJ made it very clear she didn't want to be there and asked to go home. So a procedure was initiated called an application for authorisation under the Deprivation of Liberty Safeguards, which is the legal framework under the Mental Capacity Act, which gives the care home authorisation to deprive someone of their liberty, so to keep AJ in this service against her will.
AJ was alert enough to make her views known. Bullshit, she said to a council assessor when told she'd be staying in care. I will not, she said. I am going home. AJ was allowed a representative. The local authority picked her niece's husband.
For understandable reasons, a lot of local authorities would be drawn to appointing family members as the representative because they know the person well and they care about them. If they've been very involved in organising the arrangements which amount to a deprivation of liberty and actually they support those arrangements, they're probably not going to be appropriate to function as a representative. So that was one thing that went wrong in this case, and that really wasn't clear before this case, I don't think.
AJ's friends complained that she had been dumped in the home. They tried to help, but they'd been rebuffed, they told the court by letter.
As AJ's friends of 30 years or more and people who've been involved in her care, we felt helpless and disappointed that we were now letting her down, as there was nothing we could do to help her. She had no voice of her own and no one else to fight her corner. We'd been told that because we are not related to her, there was nothing we could do.
That wasn't correct. In May 2014, nearly a year later, the case came to the Court of Protection. In spring this year, the judgment was published. The law is complex, but simply put, the judge found the council at fault and that AJ had been wrongly deprived of her liberty. But AJ has stayed in a care home all this time. Her condition has worsened and she cannot now leave. Sir Mark Headley used to sit as a High Court judge in the Court of Protection. He says that's not uncommon.
I think we will all in our time have confronted a case like that. And that merely underlines the urgency of trying at an early stage to identify the key issue in the case and get it resolved.
Because in this case, as in others, somebody's condition may just deteriorate during the court proceedings.
Exactly so. And indeed, if you're dealing with a dementia case, it's pretty well inevitable that something like that will happen.
And some of these cases take so long, they remind you of Dickens' novel Bleak House. One recent example involving a young man took 5 years and cost over £500,000, most of it public money.
I fear that that will not come as a great surprise. It will in its magnitude of both length and cost, but in terms of the basic problem of undue delay and high cost, I fear that that would not come as a surprise to practitioners in this area. And there are real issues that need to be addressed.
That's why the most senior judge in this court, Sir James Munby, has called for a cultural revolution. He wants changes like those in the family courts so that cases are heard more quickly and efficiently. Some say it cannot come soon enough. A landmark ruling last year means local councils are dealing with 10 times as many deprivation of liberty cases as before. More people like AJ are likely to come before the Court of Protection.
Sancha Berg reporting. Well, in our Tunbridge Wells studios, Victoria Butler-Cole, a barrister who specialises in cases at the Court of Protection. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why do cases that come before the court often take so much longer than they do, for example, in the family courts?
Well, one of the particular differences in the Court of Protection compared to the family courts is that it's not automatic that the Court of Protection is even allowed to make a decision on someone's behalf, whereas other people are obviously entitled to take decisions on behalf of young children. Adults who are deemed to lack capacity have the right to say to the court, actually, I can make my own decision and you shouldn't be taking it for me. And so that's a preliminary question in many cases, which is actually, should the court be intervening at all? Or is it the case that the individual can actually make their own decision?
But surely that's something that could be dealt with relatively quickly. Well, I mean, instead of hearing about cases which last 5 years and cost £500,000.
In some cases, it certainly can be dealt with relatively quickly because the question is not too complicated. But for example, if you have a case involving someone with a learning disability, it's by no means the case that someone with that sort of disability is unable to make a decision, provided they're given the right support to do so. And so there are plenty of cases that have been reported, for example, where very significant decisions are potentially at stake. For example, does someone have capacity to consent to sexual relations or to consent to marriage? Now, you don't want the state in the form of the court to be taking those decisions unless it absolutely has to. And so if someone needs support, and it might take months of work to help them to understand all the relevant information and to be able to form their own view and communicate it, it would be it's much better that that process takes place rather than a rushed decision taken on someone's behalf when they could have done it themselves. And if it were the case that before these cases came to court, that sort of application of the Mental Capacity Act took place so that full support was given to people to make their own decisions,
right,
and that the other provisions of the Act were used more widely, for example, the ability to appoint a health and welfare attorney who could make the decision for you at the point where you lost capacity. If the Act was applied and better in the community, then by the time some of these cases came to court, firstly, they may not need to go there at all, but once they did, there would be a much swifter outcome that could be more easily addressed.
There's obviously a problem, isn't there, when the cases of elderly people come before the courts, because in the time that they spend, possibly years, having their case heard, their circumstances could change so much that they end up being stuck in the care system when, had it been heard faster, they might have had a chance to go home.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And it's particularly distressing for the individuals themselves and their families to be embroiled in court proceedings, which to them have one very simple answer that could be done very swiftly, and for things to take a long time. I think that's absolutely right. And it's particularly important. And the case that was referred to by your correspondent of AJ enforces this point, that in fact, if these sorts of decisions are to be taken and people are objecting to what's being done to them, those issues have to be taken to the court as quickly as possible.
Okay.
It's not acceptable to wait months and months before those sorts of disputes are even brought before the court.
Victoria Butler-Cole, thank you.
The time, 19 minutes to 8. Look at the papers. The